Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in our first full week of March Madness. Glad to have you with us. Great sectional basketball action over the weekend. And how about Indiana? They go on the road to Maryland and win a game when a lot of people, including myself, just before coming out of last weekend this day, may have told you Indiana's season was over. And I don't think I saw a path for them to win another game, to be quite honest. But they would go on to win a big one last week and then another big one on the road at Maryland on Sunday. And this Indiana team is bouncing back, is what it looks like, to close out the season and show that they do have some fight left. And after some of their recent performances, I think you have to wonder if Indiana can keep that up, can play at this level of intensity. What could they accomplish over the next few games to close out the season? And what could they do at the Big Ten Conference Tournament next week? So we'll take a look at all that today, but really pleasantly surprised with Indiana's performance. And it really wasn't the entire game. It was portions of the game. Of course, keep in mind they got down 16 points and had to battle back to the championship, or I should say to win the game. But big effort by Indiana. Xavier Johnson returned. Lots of things to be intrigued about, I guess is what I will say right now for this Indiana team. But we'll talk about all that coming up here in just a bit. Sectional champions over the weekend are local teams from Clark and Floyd County that are still alive for regional games coming up on Jeffersonville in 4A, also Christian Academy in 1A. Not surprised either one of those teams brings home a sectional championship. Thought maybe there was an outside chance Providence could beat Brownstown. That was not possible. Thought maybe there was a small chance that Silver Creek could be the team that pulled an upset over host Scottsburg in 3A, but that proved to not work either. So we're down to two teams left from Clark and Floyd counties as we head into regional weekend. And I'll tell you what, one game regionals, so both of these teams are one win away from a regional championship and a trip to the semi-state. I think Jeffersonville, probably the favorite if I had to evaluate them at Evansville-Harrison here at the start of the week based on both teams. Obviously, I know the Red Devils a lot more than I know the Warriors. In 1A, Christian Academy, who went through a battle test this past week in Borden, they take on number one in 1A, Bar Reeve, who had a 5-overtime game to win their section. Well, so both of these teams in 1A that are going to play this weekend come out with battle-tested sectional weeks. And I think Christian Academy could challenge. Bar Reeve, obviously a storied program, number one in the state. There's no question they are a very talented group. But be interesting to see what happens on Saturday. We'll be down at South Ridge, it appears, for the Jeffersonville 4A regional championship game against Evansville-Harrison. It starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time, so we'll be on the air around 3:40 or so from Southridge. You know, we talk a lot about gyms and Indiana high school basketball, especially this time of year. I've made no bones about it that Seymour is just one of my favorite places to be during the tournament in the month of March. It's just a great facility. I've got great memories there over the years of so many big games, single-class basketball. More recently, sold-out crowds for the Romeo years. Just an amazing. I've mentioned Southport is another gym that I like just south of Indianapolis. But Southridge down in Huntingburg, that Sunken Bowl Gymnasium, it's Huntingburg Memorial Gymnasium, it's a really good place. And I've been there a few times just to check it out. I had only been there once for a game itself. That was when Providence played Forest Park there en route to Providence's state championship a few years ago. What a great place it was, a packed house. Providence had a tremendous crowd. Forest Park was there that year. They're obviously nearby with a lot of tradition. They had things packed in there as well. So that was fun, and we'll see coming up this Saturday what the crowds look like. I'm a little fearful of Evansville-Harrison's crowd, that it won't be near what Jeff will bring, and I'm not sure that Jeff will bring what some of the other teams that I mentioned from my last trip there brought, but it's a great place in Indiana high school basketball. It's one of the great facilities in Southern Indiana, and the Red Devils getting a real taste of first-class gyms here in the postseason as they try to work through the tournament and see what happens when they play in a one-game regional championship on Saturday. Let's look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a moment. A look at our headlines, our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. Zach, as always, our guest on Mondays. We'll go through the IU victory yesterday. We'll talk about the return of Xavier Johnson. And we'll talk about what is next for this Indiana team if they've won two in a row, one over Wisconsin at home, a good Wisconsin team, one on the road where they had to come back against Maryland, a tough place to play. Why can they not win out this season? That's maybe the thought here. Why not? Let's see what Indiana can do. They've got Michigan State at home to wrap up the season. Michigan State has been up and down this year, and so all of a sudden, a game or a couple games that it looked like Indiana really had no chance in, now that they potentially do. And then furthermore, Indiana's got a chance, we'll talk with Zach about this, to play themselves into the Thursday game of the Big Ten Conference Tournament. I think I saw a tweet from Zach that Indiana, based on what happens with their own results and based on what happens in the Big Ten Conference this week, Indiana can finish anywhere from like 5th to 12th in the Big Ten Conference. That's a very wide swath of potential finishes for Indiana, which obviously their finish determines where they're bracketed in the seeded Big Ten Tournament bracket. So a Wednesday game, possible. I think a Thursday game, potentially likely. Then obviously the Friday, the double bye is out of contention. It's just for the top four teams in the conference standings. So we'll talk about all that more with Zach when he's with us a little bit later in the show. And then also today, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board Member. He is with us Mondays. We talk the local and latest sports. You know we're going to recap a lot of the sectional championship action and talk about the upcoming regionals with Chad when he is with us a little bit later today. And that's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Try them today for great sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily, and they'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. If you're looking for an icy cold thirst quencher to keep your day going in the right direction, right now at Thornton's, all 32-ounce fountain drinks and smaller are only 89 cents. You heard it right, only 89 cents. So come in today and grab a fountain drink from Thornton's and send us a text, the number 502-414-1450, were you as surprised as I was to see Indiana down 16 and make a run back to win it Sunday at Maryland? Love to hear from you, 502-414-1450. Let's get into our headlines, our Hoosier headlines today, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We start with Indiana and their win at Maryland. Mackenzie Mbako absolutely dominated the second half of college of basketball. It might have been his best half of the season for Indiana at Maryland. First half, he was 2 of 17, played 14 minutes, but 18 points scored of his game-high 24 points in the second half. He played all 20 minutes in the second half. He was good in all facets of the game, especially offensively for Indiana. He finished 8 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from three-point range, and he was a perfect 4 of 4 from the free-throw line. Mackenzie Mbako, I think, has a legitimate chance to win Big Ten Freshman of the Year. He or Owen Freeman, I would say, from Iowa, are going to be the two guys. So all eyes on them here in the final week of the regular Big Ten Conference season. But Mbako, terrific. Going to be really interesting to see after this season what his path is. Does he go ahead and test the NBA waters? I would think he would do that, at least test the waters. Does he try to go that route? I'm not sure that makes sense at this point. Does he return to Indiana for another year of basketball? I think he definitely would be very helpful to this Indiana team that needs to, in some ways, rebuild in the offseason. He could be a big part of that, one of the mainstays from this season. But going to be interesting to see what happens with Mbako when this season comes to an end. He is definitely a real talent. It did take him a little while to get going once the regular season got underway. But he has been a great addition to this ball club and really has helped Indiana down the stretch nab a couple of these victories. Also, other takeaways from the game, Indiana's backcourt was really good. That's not something we've always been able to say. Xavier Johnson returned. He and Trey Galloway were good, I thought. Johnson played this entire second half. He had 13 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. And I think the biggest key for Xavier Johnson, just one turnover for Indiana. Trey Galloway, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers, and he played 38 minutes. Those two guys were really good playing together in the return of X, and we'll see how they play together the rest of the way. I think at this point you ride with Xavier Johnson. You hope for his leadership. You hope for good play on the court. You hope Trey Galloway can hold his own, maybe from a shooting standpoint, because he's been doing everything else just fine as far as distributing the basketball and help Indiana get into their offenses. But those two guys, I thought, fantastic for Indiana. And I'm not so sure, and I'm reading this from Inside the Hall's website, but I'm not so sure that the second half for Indiana wasn't their best half of the season. Looking at what Alex wrote, their offensive numbers in the second half were really good. They scored 50 points. They were 19 of 26 from the field. That is 73.1% in the second half. And also, they scored on 24 of 34 possessions in the second half, and they averaged 1.47 points per possession from the second half, from halftime on. So Indiana really good in the second half. They protected the ball more. They had, 5 turnovers in the half, I believe. They had 9 in the first half, so 14 in the game. That 14 is not a good number in the in a late-season game, that's for sure. But definitely they were able to get that under control in the second half. So a lot of positives for Indiana as they prepare for the final stretch of the regular season. I'm not sure I saw this team, as I said, winning another game. I definitely don't think I saw this team winning 2 games, let alone back-to-back games, one over Wisconsin at home and one on the road. Any road games, obviously tough in the Big Ten Conference. But now they'll prepare for Minnesota. Not an easy game. Minnesota has gotten better as the season has went on. They've actually turned in a reasonable season in the Big Ten Conference. Remember, coming into the year, Ben Johnson was one of the Big Ten coaches that was on the hot seat. He's played his way, I think, through that. He's coached his way through that, I should say. So Indiana gearing up for a Wednesday night game in Minneapolis against the Gophers, and then they'll be back at home on Sunday for an afternoon matchup against Michigan State to wrap up the 23-24 regular season. It's hard to believe that we're in March, and later this week, women's college basketball tournaments will be starting. Some of the smaller to mid-major men's conferences get underway, I believe, later this week. But next week, that's a big week, obviously, for college basketball, the start of conference tournaments, and we're inching closer to Selection Sunday. Just going to be a joyful time for basketball fans here in the area. I know Indiana's likely not going to be in the tournament. Louisville's likely not going to be in the tournament. Purdue is going to be a number one seed, barring some kind of collapse in the tournament. But it's not going to be the best year for locals to follow as far as Kentuckiana teams. Kentucky obviously will be there. I could see Kentucky having a great run in the tournament. I could see Kentucky getting blasted or getting put out of the tournament, let me say that, early. So I'm not sure what kind of year it's going to be for the locals, but March Madness is going to be fun. Just glad that we're to that point of the year where we've got basketball, 3, 4, 5 days a week. And if you count in the women's tournament, which I know a lot of us will be tuning into that to see Indiana, it's even more than that. So wall-to-wall basketball basically for the next 3 or 4 weeks to get us to the final stages of the NCAA tournament. A couple other headlines to mention. Purdue over the weekend, number 2 in the country. They clinched at least a share of the Big Ten Conference Championship. They beat Michigan State 80-74 on Saturday, and they're going to share at least their 26th men's basketball title for Purdue. They'll have at least a share of it, but a big win for Purdue. Great season by the Boilermakers. All eyes are going to be on them in the NCAA tournament, and it's not just because they should be a number one seed. It's because they have been bounced out of the tournament a lot earlier than what anybody would have ever expected the last few years, including obviously losing to a 16 seed. So can the Boilermakers right the ship? Can they avoid any upsets? Can they make some kind of special run in March? I think they have the front court, the big man, Edie, to do so. Do they have the guard play to make a significant run into the month of March? It's going to be interesting to see. And then one other college basketball note. I had an opportunity to watch about a half of Connecticut on Sunday. Seton Hall, pretty good. Not the best Seton Hall team, but Connecticut absolutely destroyed them. And Connecticut is really good. Defending national champions. They're going to be a tough out for somebody, but they claimed the Big East regular season championship with their win over Seton Hall on Sunday. And they are really good. There is no question about that. Also, over the weekend, women's college basketball. It was Senior Day in Bloomington. Indiana held off Maryland for a win on Sunday just after the IU men's team won at Maryland. The IU women's team won at home against the Maryland women. But there were some scary moments because Mackenzie Holmes went down with what appeared to be a left knee injury. She was off the quarter, she was out of the game in the final quarter of the game on Sunday. And then also one of their backup post players, Lily Meister, I believe is how you say her name, she had a left ankle injury as well. Both of those players are out, going to be evaluated. The good news is Holmes, who's such a key player, All-American Mackenzie Holmes, she was back on the bench later in the game celebrating with her team. She appeared to be up and moving okay with the team and their celebration after for Senior Day. So I think everybody is hopeful that it's minor, a ding, she'll be okay, she'll be back soon, maybe won't miss any time. But when you get late in the year and you've had such a great year and you're gearing up for a run in the Big Ten tournament, obviously the NCAA tournament, there are some big goals there for this Indiana women's team. When one of your key players goes down, it's just devastating. And I think I saw Iowa, Caitlin Clark, of course, set the record for all-time points scored. She beat or surpassed Pistol Pete's Maravich's record over the weekend. And so that was really cool to see. But I think I saw that one of Iowa's next best players went down with a pretty serious injury, which is going to hurt their chances in the Big Ten tournament, in the NCAA tournament. I think I read it was an ACL, if I'm correct. So you hate to see that stuff. It doesn't matter if it's a team that you're going to play or somebody you cheer for or you don't. Golly, season-ending injuries when you get this close and you work this so hard to get to the postseason are just absolutely devastating. But we'll see, and hoping for the best for Mackenzie Holmes, that she is back out soon for Indiana. Also, Liam McNeely, prized recruit for Indiana in the class of 2024. He has been named to the Jordan game at the conclusion of the season. He is going to be the first Hoosier since Mackenzie Mbako a year ago. Then before that, in 2022, you had Jalen Hood-Schifino, Malik Renew, and also Kel-El Ware was in that game, although he was committed at the time to Oregon. Then before that, Tamar Bates, and of course, back in 2019, Trace Jackson Davis. Before him, Romeo Langford. Indiana's had a nice run of Jordan brand classic players the last few seasons, that's for sure. But that game on April 21st up at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, it's a great honor for McNeely. He's got all sorts of honors coming after a terrific season for his Montverde team. And don't forget, Montverde is going to play in Brownsburg at the Chipotle National Tournament coming up here in the early part of April. So if you want to get out and see McNeely, there's going to be a chance to do so here in the state of Indiana. 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Again, 502-414-1450. Love to hear from you if you've got a question or comment. You can send it in to us. Obviously, Indiana with a big win over the weekend. We'll talk more about that. We'll get into some high school sectional championship chatter a little bit later in the hour as well. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
T.A. Jenkins and...
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us in this segment. And Zach, Indiana goes on the road to Maryland, get down 16 points, and they come back and get a victory. A lot of people, I think, including myself, had thought it might be tough for Indiana to win any additional games this season, let alone win two in a row, including a road game at Maryland on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think probably more than any other game this season, and I don't want to make too much out of this, but I think more than any other game this season, and I wrote this afterward, that this is probably what it looked like in Mike Woodson's, you know, sort of mind when you were talking about, you know, walking through game by game or month by month, the evolution of this team, what it was supposed to look like kind of in the, as a more finalized product. Obviously Indiana was healthier. Xavier Johnson played 32 minutes. Gabe Cupp starts, but only plays 8 minutes. So he effectively kind of is more of a bench role player. Anthony Leal comes off the bench and gives Indiana some important minutes, some good defense, a couple, I thought, key assists. You know, this is just, I think, what probably Mike Woodson kind of had envisioned this looking like for Indiana. And, you know, we can make an argument it's come too late, and we can certainly point out kind of the quality of the teams that Indiana's beaten. But I think at very least, there is some justifiable sort of, I guess the word he used after the Wisconsin game that I would probably use here as well is validation for Woodson.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Mackenzie Mbako was excellent in the game, definitely the second half of play. I mean, he was dominant, finished with 24 points, a game-high 24 points for the Hoosiers in that contest. He has gotten better and better and better, and I think back, Zach, to some of our conversations back in maybe November, early December. He was struggling. There was an adjustment, especially, I think, on the defensive end of the court for him when he entered Indiana as a freshman with high expectations and a five-star recruit name tag. But he has answered the call, and I think as we approach the home stretch week here and prepare for the postseason, the Big Ten Conference Tournament, Mackenzie Mbako has turned in a really outstanding freshman year when you go from start to finish.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, he's, you know, if you look at kind of his production, he's only failed to score in double figures twice since January 9th. That was the Rutgers game. He had 13 points in that game. He's got three 20-point games, 20-plus point games in his last five. I would argue he's become Indiana's best three-point shooter. I know, you know, there are guys on the roster who, in theory, have better percentages. Khalil Ware shoots a little bit better from three. Xavier Johnson, you know, quietly is another one of those seasons where if he had more volume, he'd probably make even more impact. But Mbako, in terms of volume plus effectiveness, he's shooting 36.5% in Big Ten play. He's, you know, frankly, this team's one reliable free throw shooter. And you talk about just kind of the level of confidence that it feels like we've seen in him that's grown. And there's, you know, there's obviously been other games, again, where maybe he's, you know, scored a lot of points or made some shots. But this was the first game that it felt like you were kind of watching, maybe other than I think he had some moments a little bit like this in that Minnesota game, maybe even some moments a little bit like this in the Harvard game. This was the most pronounced moment, I thought, though, you felt like Mackenzie Mbako kind of took the game over. You know, he's 8 of 15 from the floor. He hits all four of his free throws. He had four threes. I think three of them were in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been two. Forgive me for forgetting that a little bit. You know, there was one second half basket he made. It was in transition. kind of a secondary break opportunity. Basically, he sort of pump faked to shoot a three. A defender ran by him with his hand in the air. He dribbled around it and just hit a pull-up two. And it was just really smooth. It was just this sort of effortless, instinctive, you know, don't think, just play kind of offense that we saw from Mbako at his best in his prep career. And it feels like he's been getting closer and closer to that. You know, he's won Big Ten Freshman of the Week a couple times. I would be surprised if he doesn't win it again this week. If you look at his overall output, 38 points in a pair of wins, six threes, you know, only four rebounds. It's probably fair to say he's become a little bit more of just kind of a scorer for Indiana, that's kind of the role he's grown into occupying here these last few weeks. But if you even look at kind of some of his other, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over a lot, which obviously could be an issue for freshmen. He's actually not in getting in foul trouble the way that he was earlier in the season. You know, earlier in the season, he was, you know, far too often kind of one of those guys going to the bench with two fouls. He's only committing 3.2 fouls per 40 minutes in Big Ten play. He's getting to the free throw line often enough. You know, the three-point number, again, is really good. He's just, I mean, he's frankly probably making a late case for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And you never know what's going to happen after the season. You know, and will he be one of these guys that maybe at least declares to check his draft stock or something like that? But he is starting to look like a player where if Indiana could bring him back next season, I think he could genuinely be the sort of player who could grow into first-team All-Big Ten caliber sort of talent.
All right, talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Also, I thought Xavier Johnson, his return obviously helped lift Indiana, but he and Galloway were really good in the backcourt, handling the ball, limiting turnovers. They each scored points as well to aid the cause. A really good day for Indiana's guards, and that's not always been the case. I think a lot of people were interested to see when Xavier came back, how ready he was to come back, and how would he help or not help this team, and he definitely did on Sunday.
I would go even a step further, and again, this is probably one where, you know, Mike Woodson is allowed to justifiably sort of say, this is what I was hoping for, which is I think it's maybe the best game that Johnson and Trey Galloway have played together. And that's their individual performances, you know, between them, 25 points, I think 8 rebounds and 10 assists. You know, Galloway had 2 turnovers. Johnson only had 1. So that's obviously an outstanding assist to turnover ratio. Now, you know, they're both important defensively, but neither one of them gets in any foul trouble. Jameer Young really struggled down the stretch. He had 22 points, but he had to take 18 shots to do it, and he was 8 of 18 from the floor. I thought Galloway and Johnson each had a lot to do with that. I know KenPom, I guess, tagged Johnson as its game MVP just in terms of his overall impact, but I thought this was as much as any game we've seen this season, and of course there haven't been a ton of them, maybe from Indiana's perspective, enough of them because of Johnson's injury problems. But this was probably what Mike Woodson had in mind. Two really experienced ball handlers, both of them very, very creative. You know, I think it's really, frankly, gone under the radar how good Trey Galloway has been as Indiana's point guard. I mean, he's got a top 10 assist rate in Big Ten play, and he's only turning the ball over on 18% of possessions overall this season. Obviously, there have been some frustrations with his shooting, particularly his three-point shooting, his free-throw shooting. But creatively, he has been, I mean, he has had a remarkable sort of ascendance or growth or kind of however you want to put that, just in terms of how good of a passer he's become, how good of a creator he's become. And then you put him next to Xavier Johnson, and you suddenly see a little bit more of what Mike Woodson talked about, these, you know, a pair of really experienced two-way guards that can both be trusted with the ball in their hands, running the offense, creating for others, and suddenly there's a little bit of that kind of entry point, you know, basically where's the point of attack and how do you defend it as an opponent if the ball can start in either of these guys' hands and wind up creating a high-quality look for, you know, either them or a teammate. I think they were a huge part of the what am I trying to say here? Oh, geez. Second half, that's what I was trying to say. Indiana shot 19 of 26 from the floor, which is just a stunning number, especially when you consider how many of those were twos. Indiana only took, I think, 5 threes in the second half, and that's obviously twos are going to be easier to hit than threes most of the time, but the fact that Indiana was getting so many twos and Maryland just could not stop them, a lot of it had to do with Galloway and Johnson and the way that they were just kind of controlling things, running the offense, moving bodies around where they needed to be, and confounding the heck out of Maryland's defense. Again, I think it was another one of these, you know, data points within the game where Mike Woodson would be justified in saying, hey, you know, this was what I had in mind.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, final topic for you, back to McKenzie and Bacco for a second. My question is, what are the pathways for Mbacco next season? Obviously, could he test the NBA? Could he return to Indiana? Could he maybe look to go somewhere else in the transfer portal? And then the second part of that question comes from the Thornton's text line. The question said, would Mbacco be better off playing the four spot next season if he comes back, or should he stay at the three? Your thoughts on those two Mbacco questions for next season?
Yeah, I think, I guess to the first one first, I have not really seen a lot of, frankly, any noise around McKenzie and Bacco. And not, you know, I'll admit that this time of year, I'm not checking with NBA sources. I'm really just kind of, you know, sort of scrolling mock drafts and things like that. It is probably fair to say that the rockiness of the first half of his season has probably moved him off NBA radars for this year. That doesn't mean he couldn't test the waters. Of course, that doesn't mean he couldn't still decide to go, although obviously, you know, this calculus has kind of changed, of course, with NIL and, you know, basically the opportunity to stay in college, don't expose yourself to the draft before you're ready, and still make, you know, quite a good bit of money in college. You know, he's the sort of player who I think it would make a certain amount of sense to at least declare and just kind of test the waters, get some workouts, see where things are at, and then maybe you bring some feedback back with you. Obviously, and I have no reason to believe this is on the cards for him, but in the transfer portal era, you always kind of have to put the caveat on any player that you never know what they might be thinking. You never know whether they might be, you know, I want to be closer to home, or I think I need to go do this, or I want a different role, or whatever. I have not heard anything like that around Mbacco, and I used to hate speculating on transfers, and now basically, instead of saying I don't want to talk about any player that I don't have hard information is transferring, I just sort of think it's fair to put a tag on every player and say there is never not the possibility that that player might consider that sort of thing. If he came back for next season, I would be interested to see what Indiana did with him. You know, Indiana, in fairness, I think part of Indiana's sales pitch last spring when he signed was that he was going to play the three. He was going to get the opportunity to play as a big three. I think he struggled with that at times this season. You mentioned his defense earlier. I think he's gotten a lot better defensively, to be honest. That doesn't mean he's perfect, but I think he has. I mean, if you want to talk about points of individual growth across the course of this season, I don't know if there is one more easily demonstrated, tracked, you know, just clear to the naked eye in any individual Hoosier than McKenzie Mbacco's on-ball defense, where it was in November and where it is now. So there's an extent to which Indiana might sort of feel like it has to leave him at the three, but if Khalil Ware leaves, or you slide Malik Renew to the five, or Renew test the draft, or somebody else transfers, or whatever, could Indiana move him to the four, especially with Liam McNeely coming in? I think that's possible. I think it's intriguing. I think you'd be in a situation where you would need to be very sure of your rim protection and rebounding ability at the five spot, because I don't think either Mbacco or McNeely is going to play, let's say, big ball defensively in terms of how they defend, how they rebound. Maybe they will, you know, maybe an offseason will get them further down the line. But I think that at very least, it has been an impressive sort of rise here, probably especially across the last, I would say, 8-9 weeks. For McKenzie Mbacco. And I think that if he were to come back for Indiana next season, I do genuinely think we would be talking about him, I don't know about preseason, but as a possible all-league first-team caliber player, maybe even a Big Ten player of the year. Because if you look around the league, and I know this is kind of getting off topic to finish up here, but if you look around the league, a lot of these guys that are, you know, sort of in the Big Ten player of the year category right now, Edie, Young, Shannon, Bowie, there's going to be a pretty big talent drain of experienced dudes at the top end of the league next year. And there is the potential for, you know, the stage to kind of be set for somebody like Mbacco to step out onto it if he stays.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, as always, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us to get the week started. We'll head to a quick break and come back with Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member. We'll talk sectional championships from Saturday. Stay with us for that here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the show. Thornton's text line texter says, first of all, I would like to say Jeff was the best team at Seymour. What was your opinion of the officiating? I was at the game, so I was not able to listen to you on the radio. I know the officials, I think it was okay, not great, but that happens. My focus calling a game is keeping up with what's going on the floor. There are so many things to keep track of that you just watch the game differently when you're broadcasting as opposed to watching it as a fan or as just an observer. So I try not to get too far into that. Occasionally we'll make a comment if something, especially both ways, seems a little bit off, but I saw no major issues in Seymour, to be quite honest with you, throughout the week. But thank you so much for the text. Chad Gilbert is with us. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, and he joins us Mondays to talk local stuff. And Chad, today we get to talk about sectional championship games, especially two, Jeffersonville and Christian Academy, both won their sectionals and are still playing in the regional round of the tournament this week.
Matt, first off, I'm digging deep today. The whole Gilbert family is sick. It's a tough one, too. It's one of those bad sick, so we're all struggling. I'm digging down deep in regional weekend like a big-time player would. You'd step up in a big game, so that's what I'm trying to do today. But to address your caller,
I hope you get the feeling better.
I appreciate it, Matt. To address your text liner, Jeff's the best team in that section. We said that all along, and I get it. Whenever we hosted the regional at Charlestown, we used to have skylights in there. We had windows that come in. I spent $10,000 to cover the skylights. You know why? Because no one ever loses the regional. It's always the light shined in and got in their eyes. The referees were bad. The floor is not good. The ball was too bouncy. We had to drive 2 hours. Everybody's got the reason they lied. Bottom line, sometimes you just get beat by a better team. And in Jeffersonville's case, Jeffersonville's better than a whole lot of teams out there. I think that they have state championship talent. And we'll see how that one goes. They've gotten past one obstacle. And we'll see how this weekend goes against Evansville-Harrison.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Jeffersonville, a real opportunity ahead to win a regional. It's just a one-game deal, and to get to a semi-state, and that's where the competition level will likely take a jump up, as you would expect, as you get further into the tournament. But, Chad, before we talk more about sectionals, coming out of the weekend, it's so hard for me to get used to the fact that regionals are one game, semi-states are now two games, and I think we've been through this before. The thought from the IHSA with that change is more teams will be alive, still playing deeper into the tournament, which keeps more fan bases and more communities engaged and excited about their basketball team. So I get that. It makes sense. It's just a change. It's different. It's going to take a little while for that to catch on. But one thing different, when Jeff won the sectional on Saturday night and when Christian Academy won as well, we knew who both teams would play, but we did not know the location or the time. The IHSA announced those assignments, I think it was late Saturday, early Sunday. So I believe that was a little different from past years, because the 4A team at Jeff has just always assumed we'll be back at the regional at Seymour, and likely the semi-state could be there as well.
Yeah, now I think that was something they got out early Saturday or late Saturday night, Matt. And it was something that game may have been one that was questionable. I think Brownstown and Seymour would have packed the house, but that's a 2-hour drive from Sullivan. to get to Brownstown. So they sent those guys to Washington. I think Scottsburg will be a great crowd up there. I think Seymour will be a good crowd. And that's the one thing that's changed in the past, Matt, is you just don't have two 4A teams playing. Now you may have a 1A team and a 4A team, a 2A team and a 3A team. So hopefully that gets good crowds and people come out and support their schools, because it, like we talked about, Matt, it's one and done. One of the things that I've been fortunate enough to do is I've been able to keep things in perspective. I've got kids coming up, and I'm going to struggle with that. You know, when Bam played his fifth grade game this year, my stomach hurt going to the game. It hurt during the game. It hurt on the way home. So I get where parents and fans come from. But the one thing that I've enjoyed is I've enjoyed watching my friends' kids play. It doesn't matter if it's Joel Thomas's kids, Ronnie Combs' kids. It doesn't matter if it's Noah Lovin, Camilla Adams, Grant and Gavin Seabower, whoever it is. You know, I've had an opportunity to sit back and enjoy watching those kids develop, but I've enjoyed watching them enjoy the sport. And that's something that I think goes a long way. And I think that's something as fans and parents, you know, and I get it. Parents have put a lot of effort in. They put a lot of time to going to jamming in Jasper, or going to a Mitchell Speedy tournament on the weekends, times in the driveway, going to father-son camp. You have a lot invested as a parent. But at the end of the day,
Chad Gilbert with me talking about, you know, sectional championships from Saturday. Let's talk about Christian Academy as well. Great crowds at Borden, I'm told. We saw great scores, great finishes there. Christian Academy had to battle back on Friday to even get to the championship game as the favorite. They win. Now they're going to take on number one ranked Bar Reeve nearby at Lagodi, where Bar Reeve has already played some games there for the sectional. And Bar Reeve, it took five overtimes Saturday night, but they got it done and won a sectional championship. I think Christian Academy can compete with Bar Reeve. I think that that will be a real battle down at Lagodi for that one-game 1A regional.
Well, Matt, I must have got cut off or something, but what I was going to say on that last segment is, you know, I hope everybody enjoys watching their kids and watching their schools play, because they're playing in the best basketball tournament in America. The best venues, the best fans, the best schools, the best cheer box, and I just hope they keep that stuff in perspective and enjoy their time they had. But you talked about Christian Academy. Yes, I mean, look at Bar Reeve this year, Matt. I think they're 22-2, 23-2, something like that. It's kind of flown under the radar. They played Orleans to a five-overtime game, and I think that regular season game was a three-overtime game. But if you look at Christian Academy, they've had a great, great, great season. That Renfro kid can really score the basketball. So, you know, they're going to be isolating on him and trying to make someone else beat him, I'm sure, but that'll be an outstanding matchup. Barry's played on that Lagodi floor all through the sectional, so I think you're going to have a little bit of advantage there, but it should be a fun Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. You mentioned the basketball tournament in Indiana. You know, I'm envious of Kentucky a bit because they have the Sweet 16 where everybody gathers. But, Chad, this time of year, these gyms are showcases. The crowds come out. We saw a number of sellouts across the state. It's so fun after you leave the game you're at to check the scores. And nowadays you can look on Twitter and get the video clips of buzzer beaters from different places. At Noblesville, 4A sectional was crazy on Saturday. But there's just something about this time of year, and the sectionals kick off what is really about a month-long celebration of high school hoops in our state.
And Matt, and that's what it is. It's a celebration. The games, I mean, it does mean more. It's something that, you know, if you look at your text message throughout a game, you could have, when the game starts, you may have one text message. At the end of the first quarter, you've got 127. You know, people are keeping updates. People are going there. There's so much technology now that improves basketball fans. And then, you know, going to the game and being at a place that's set out to Southwestern, like I said, Providence and Brownstown, it took me a while to unwind after that game. You know, those things are fun, not only for the players and the coaches, but they're fun for the fans, and that's the bottom line on that. I just really hope that they enjoy the ride.
Chad Gilbert with me here on Monday. Chad, can you believe we're to the point where conference tournaments are imminent? They're up just around the corner. We're going to have the NCAA pairings before you know it. It's just we talk about a celebration here in Indiana with high school hoops. Then you package the college stuff with it, and it's just almost basketball overload. It's so fun.
Man, I'm not sure. I know we talk about this every year. I'm not sure the conference tournaments aren't as good as March Madness. I mean, you get more upsets, but my gosh, you see good games. And these teams, you know, they know each other. They played each other twice already during the season. they come back out and they play and compete with everything they got for a conference championship. It's that competition factor. That's really something that I hope kids really step up and enjoy that, because, you know, you think about, Matt, your whole life, you're always competing. If you learn that through sports, I think that's a big lesson that you can learn that will go a long way through your life.
Absolutely. Chad, great to have you with us. Sorry to hear about the illness that has hit the Gilbert household. Take it easy, rest up, and get ready for a great month and a basketball ahead. We'll talk very soon.
Man, I'm going to shut it down, sip on a 7-Up, and go from there, man. I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports, and I hope everyone enjoys the next round of the IHSA Boys Basketball State Tournament.
Thank you very much, Chad. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays on the show. And that's going to wrap things up for today. We'll be with you Saturday from down at Southridge at Huntingburg for the 4A Regional, Jeff and Evansville Harrison. We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later in the week. And be with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.